All right. I've got a Bible somewhere. It's hide and seek, I think. Oh, I know where it's at. I'll be back. I left the coffee inside. All right, you take your Bibles and turn with me to Ephesians. And I'll get set up here. Turn this down. Sound man would come in handy right then, wouldn't he? A lot of amens and no takers. Ephesians chapter number 6. And last week we were in Ephesians chapter 5. We started off with Hezekiah, and we talked about the commandment of God to Hezekiah, getting your house in order. And then we came back to Ephesians chapter number 5, and we begin on the home. Thank you, sir. We began talking to moms and dads. Very little to moms and dads, more so to husbands and wives. And the role of the home. And if the home is not in order, then how can we be in order as far as submitted unto God, what God would have for us? Our homes need to be in order for our churches to be in order. And I believe we can all agree with that tonight. Amen. We need our homes in order. We need dads taking dad's roles, mom taking mom roles. We need husbands taking husband roles. And we need wives to take their roles as well in the home. And we spoke a lot of that on our first series of the home. And now here we are on our second series dealing with the home in Ephesians chapter number 6. In verse number 1, we'll start reading, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Now we'll stop reading right there, and you say that's going to be an awful short sermon. Have y'all ever known me to preach a short sermon? So I don't think any of y'all are saying that tonight. I'd take one verse and just seems like go on and on forever. Isn't that right? That was y'all's opportunity to say amen right there. Oh me. Amen on me. Chapter 6. We're going to be dealing, though, on this particular one. Last week, again, we dealt with the roles of the home, husband and wives. Today, we're going to be dealing with the roles of the children. And I'm glad that we said that before, seeing these on the first two pews filled up with kids. That's good. Amen. And they need to always sit up here. Be good for you. But I want you up here tonight where we could talk to you a little bit. And I want to deal with you tonight a little bit, and then we'll also deal slightly, as we did last week, on the dads and moms' role in the home. We'll deal with that as well. So don't think that you're going to get everything tonight. Your kids aren't going to get it all, but you will get the majority of it. And there is commandments for young people in the Scriptures. And it doesn't matter whether, and I was talking to Seth about this evening, whether you're old or young, we need to serve the Lord. Amen. We need to seek God out. It doesn't matter how young you are, you need to be finding God in a place of prayer so that you can start strengthening yourself for what will come. And so we're going to deal with that tonight and this subject about the home, dealing with the children's roles in the home and dad and mom's roles in the home as well. Second series. Let's go ahead and pray, though, first. Let's ask God to help us tonight and do a work in our hearts, in our children's hearts, and the parents' hearts as well tonight. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we've asked you to do a great work tonight. I know that you're going to work in these hearts. I pray that, Father, you wouldn't allow the distraction. Father, it's very easy for children to become distracted. It's very easy for adults to become distracted as well. Father, I pray that the sleepiness would leave us, Lord, and I know it's easy after a long day for eyes to become weary and for our bodies to be tired, but I pray that you would help us to be alert for the few minutes that we have tonight. Father, that we receive the Word of God, and Lord, with the authority that it is of God. But I pray these that are saved in here tonight, Father, that You would reveal it to them, that they would accept this and strive to be obedient, Lord, to the commandments. And we'll thank You for what You'll do tonight in our hearts. And we give You praise when it's all said and done for what You've done for us. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. And may I say this order of the home, as far as the children's concerned, as far as each one of you children, all of you look up here at me, that way you're giving me good eye contact. And I know you're listening to me tonight. Your role in the home is just as important as mommy and daddy's role in the home. You say, now, I don't know whether that's true or not. Well, let me tell you, by the Word of God tonight, it is true. You can make or break mommy and daddy when it comes to the ministry of the Lord. Now, I think about the qualifications of the man of God. For a man to pastor churches found in 1 Timothy 3, 4 and 5. It says, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Now listen, kids, y'all know what all gravity means, right? It means when he knocks you, you go to the ground. No, I'm just kidding. That ain't what it means. I'm kidding. That is gravity, but they're not going to teach you gravity that way, I hope. That is true. And thank you for sharing that with us, Dylan. But you know, that's not what it's concerning. But it is important. It is important. This is my line right here, so I can't spit on you that much. The thing starts popping at me. And it is important for a child to realize, though, that his role, your role in your mama and daddy's home, speaks volumes about what they will be qualified to do in the ministry. What your own father will be qualified to do in the ministry is concerning how well behaved and obedient his children are. Now, understandably, this is a two-part role. It's a part on the mama and daddy to make sure that they keep those children in line, but it's a part on that son and daughter, especially, now listen up real carefully, especially if you're saved by the good grace of God. Because you have a commandment in the Bible, and as a saved child of God, it is your responsibility to be obedient to what God would have for you, right? All of you say, that's right, Brother Shoemaker. Thank you, Dylan. You're a good amen corner over there. But men have been disqualified from church ministries because of the role of the children. Think about this. The same qualification have kept missionaries from entering the field. If you don't think that, just try to go on deputation for a little while and go into some of these churches and see some of these children that are part of these families and realize that some of these men are not getting support because of their children. We've been in some churches, you know, in missions conferences, and you find men that preach and they'll get up at the pulpit and the missionaries will fire down and they'll do a wonderful job. I mean, they'll have a good 3-point outline, 4-point outline. They'll preach and you'll think, man, what power of God. People get their hearts right, but their children are just screaming and they're acting ugly and everybody will get support in that thing but that one family. You say, that don't happen, Brother Shoemaker. That is a qualification, and a lot of men think about that in 1 Timothy as a qualification for a missionary, as a preacher in general. And because of that, a lot of men don't get support, but even if that's just concerning a bishop, a man of God, a preacher, but think about this tonight, moms and dads, even people who are in the household of God ought to be able to take their children and discipline them and keep them in line as the Scripture commands us to do so. We should be able to do that. Now, it is our command. It's our right. It's our duty as Christians to do that. But it is our duty for the children, it is your duty to make sure that you are in line because your obedience to your parents could keep them from doing what God has called them to do. You see, I think a lot of times we put up most of the blame, and it should be. Most of the blame should go to mamas and daddies. I'm not going to say it shouldn't, but not all of it should. You see, You see, Brother Phil, the same Spirit of God that's on the inside of you is the same one that these boys that say they're saved is on the inside of them. And there is no difference as far as the Spirit of God leading when they hear the Word of God and you hear the Word of God. If the same Spirit of God's on the inside of us, there's no difference. It's going to lead men. Is that right? So if they're saved, then they have a responsibility just as well as you do to keep them in line to be obedient to what you say. And when you don't, children, you are in rebellion to the commandments of the Lord. And that's on your part. Now think about this, and we talk about men been disqualified from church ministries. They've been disqualified from the mission field or have been kept from the mission field. But it also causes a bad testimony on your family's part. It can actually keep your mommy and daddy from being able to witness to somebody. Did you know that? Now, that's kind of odd, isn't it? You say, oh no, Brother Shoemaker, that wouldn't happen like that, Pastor. Oh no, it would too. You get your mom and daddy out with you guys at a restaurant or a store or somewhere, and you're screaming to the top of your lungs and they don't know how to make you mind. Or maybe you ain't submitted. Maybe they've tried to. I've talked to some men, they said, I've belted and belted and belted until I think their hind end is just nothing but callous and they can't feel it anymore. Yeah. I heard one preacher say, well, go a little higher, a little lower, amen, I guess. Because you better get them in line. I'm not talking about beating children, amen, but I'm telling you, our children need to be in submission to mom and dad because that rebellion is going to come back to haunt you one day. But as we think about your testimony, children, of your mom and dad, a lot of time hinges upon how obedient you are to them and to the Scriptures. And when you're disobedient and you're going crazy and you're going wild and you say no and you say I don't want to and you show your parents disrespect, how many people are going to look at that and say, yeah, I'd like to listen to him. Yeah, I'd like to listen to her. Well, you might as well have a cigarette hanging out of your mouth and a beer in your hand as far as them listening to you. Because they don't want to do that. I mean, you can't even keep your children in line. What kind of God is that? Are y'all listening to me? All of you, children, adults, and everybody right now. Children, if you're not in line, you are a bad testimony upon your family. This is one of the reasons that Solomon warns, and he talks about the reproach of the mother. And I promise you, you are a reproach to that mom. Because that mom, okay, is the one who's to be the keeper of the home. Remember we talked about that, ladies, last week. The stayers at home. You guys are the ones that when it's over with, that's your reward, is because you have kept that family intact and you have made sure those children were guided up by the doctrines and say so of the Father, and you have guided those children in line, and when they get older and they are serving God and good examples in society of good young men and young women, you look back and say, man, God's did a wonderful thing, and I'm so glad of what God has done and how we've been successful by the Word of God raising these children. And that, but you know what, when they're not, they're a reproach to you. And even when they're coming up, before they ever get really fully of age, they can still be a pretty good reproach. I think about, you know, families, we've seen them again on deputation, you know. I remember one family we've seen several times. Every time we was with them in a mission conference, the mom took the kids right away. She got those kids and they made a beeline to the nursery. You know why? Because she didn't want them acting up, because they knew. Hey, they had been told, your children are going to hurt your support because you ain't got them in line. It wasn't about spanking them. Hey, you ask my kids, when I took my kids out of the sanctuary, they didn't want it. They wanted to stay right there. They were fighting to stay in that pew because they knew what was going to come to them when I got them on the outside of that church building. They was going to get their hind end tore up, and all three of them have had it. And you'll notice they try to stay in line when they're sitting on the church pew, amen. They better, amen. And I promise you, you know, if you don't do that, then you'll have unruly children, and they'll be a reproach to you. They'll be a reproach in the house of God, in the community, in your schoolhouse. And when you finally get called to the school that umpteenth millionth time and you're just sitting there and your head's hung in shame, you'll be thinking, man, I wish I'd have done some things different. Y'all still listening to me, aren't you? I want to let you know we need our children in subjection. Hey, in fear. Not in a fear as to say, I don't want daddy or mommy hitting on me, and I hope nobody in there is like that. Amen. But a reverence to where they say, I don't want a spanking, or I don't want this, or I don't want this for whatever form of punishment you have chosen for your children at that time. I don't want this, and I don't want that, so I'm going to stay in line. And they fear you or reverence you. Let me say reverence so that on my recording, nobody's listening going, he's trying to make his children live in fear. Because I assure you, my children aren't worried about me hitting them. Amen. I joke around with Blakey sometimes about the smacking. He says, I don't want a smacking, either. I'm kidding. But it's joking. We're just joking around. But you know what? We shouldn't have our children in fear, but they should reverence us before we say one, two, three. Matter of fact, you shouldn't be counting, amen, on your fingers. You should be like, you know, one, you're done, amen. You better do it the first time. But if you do count, make sure you do something, amen, by three. If you're going to count, I don't believe in counting, but if you're going to count, do something. When you get to three, let them know, you better not let me get to three if I'm going to count. But understandably, we need to have our children in subjection. As we think about this thing, though, in keeping the place and the order in the home, the first word in this chapter, chapter number 6, let's go ahead and get started tonight, and just a few things real quick and we'll be done. It starts off children. Now, the first word of this chapter usually denotes someone that is young. Now, in the Bible, we've seen as when they say young or young man or young woman in the Bible, that could be as young, and we've seen it in the Bible, as young as 40. So for everybody that's 40 or younger, we actually got some biblical hope that we're still young. For you that are over 40, I don't know. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm just trying to be biblical tonight. All right, listen. But this children, y'all are sitting close enough, y'all are on the internet. Now listen. These children, though, now when it's talking about children, it's talking about a young person, but a young person that is under the authority or supervision of the parents. Now listen real carefully just for a couple of minutes, children. Listen to this. The first word talks to our children. Children, and then we see the first commandment here of God. Now understand, this is a command, not a suggestion. It is not a suggestion that you might can be obeying your parents or you should obey your parents, but it says obey your parents. That is a command in the Scripture. When your parents say something, you are to do it. Amen. They tell you to jump, say, how high do I need to jump, Mama? Because that's how you're supposed to do it. Yes, you are. That is a commandment from God to do it. I've already seen some shaking their heads. No, I don't understand. Why in the world would you want to shake your head? No. Did the Bible say it? Yes. Do you want to obey the Bible? Yes. Now, that's all we need to say tonight. If you're saved, then you should want to obey the Bible. If you don't want to obey the Bible, then I'd start questioning myself whether I have been born again by the good grace of God. I'd start questioning myself whether I am truly a saved, called out believer. If I see that Bible and I say, I do not want to do something. You see, it's easy when we start talking about general sins, okay, in the church house, and our children just sit there, and they're off in la-la land. But when we're directly speaking to the children, and we say, it is biblical that you obey your parents, then everyone that's saved should say, I do want to obey my parents. If you don't, something's wrong somewhere. If you don't, there is a problem somewhere. Y'all got that tonight? This is not a suggestion. This is a command from the Scripture. Obey your parents. Now, as we think about this, and it's a cut and dry. And remember, children, as we could say, when we have this command in the Scripture to obey your parents in the Lord. Now, we're going to get to this in a minute. Now, I'm going to have some justification on behalf of this command given in the Bible. Don't worry, we'll get there in a second. But let me say it, it's still a command to obey your parents. But as we think about this, it is the same way with any Christian that has a command from the Scriptures. Half obedience is no obedience. If I tell you to run down a hill, and I say run down all the way down the hill, come back, and you run halfway and come back up, and you're huffing and puffing just as much as the next guy, and you say, I run down the hill, well, you didn't do what I told you to do because you didn't do it all the way. And in the same fashion, if it's in the Bible to command or to obey your parents, then when your parents say you need to do something, you shouldn't halfway do it. You should all the way do it. That's biblical. It's right. It's godly. We ought to just want to obey your parents because it's the right thing to do, you see. As we think about this, it's not a suggestion, it's a command. Secondly, notice the rest of the command. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, this is in here for a reason, parents. I mean, the parents honor God's authority, and the children honor the parents' authority, honoring God's authority. So, let me talk to the parents just for a second. If you want your children to be biblical in obeying your commands, then make sure it's something that you have gotten from God. Make sure you've gotten in prayer and said, is this what I need to do scripturally for my family? Then we're going to do it. Now understand, children, even if it's something you don't think is right, as far as if it's disobedience to the Word of God, now listen real carefully. Don't obey your parents. Now, if y'all don't like that, y'all need to get with God. Amen. You parents. Because the Bible says it's better to obey God rather than man. And I'm going to obey God before I obey anybody. Amen. That's dads, moms, brothers, sisters, pastors. I don't care who it is. If they're going opposite of the Word of God, then I'm not going with them. I don't care who you are. Amen. And children, if your parents are opposing the Bible, then take the Bible and say, Daddy, Mama, this is not what the Bible says. And if that's against the Word of God and they don't get right, then take it to your pastor, hallelujah, and say, Pastor, you told me I need to obey my parents, but they're not going with God. Well, all I can tell you is to pray, amen, but don't go against the Bible. Now, if y'all don't like that, I don't care. I'm not against the home. I'm not anti-home. I'm totally for the home. And I don't lordship above the home as a pastor, but I will tell you this. I'll tell your children to stay with God before I will you if you're going against God. Because they should. Amen? They should. But let me tell you this, children. In the Lord speaks of a couple of different things. First of all, it speaks of doctrinal things. These are what the parents say the Bible says. If they take that Bible and say just exactly what I told you tonight, when I said the Bible says, children, obey your parents, and you say, then you're going opposite of what that Bible says, and you're supposed to be going with what the Bible does say. And if they was to take that, your daddy was to take that, or your mama was to take that, and say, you were supposed to obey your parents. When I say clean your room, I'm trying to help you. When I say clean your room, I'm trying to teach you discipline, responsibility. That is the job of that mom and daddy. And when they do that and they say, the Bible says you're to obey your parents, and you go, you're in rebellion against God. More so above and beyond rebellion against your parents, you are under the hand of God. I'd rather be under the hand of my parents than the hand of God, I promise you that. Give me one spanking and let me go than let me be under the wrath of God. Because you're going to suffer some harsh consequences when you go against God's Word. Are y'all listening to me, children? You're still with me, aren't you? Look up here at me so I know you're with me. We need to obey God. Listen. Speaks of doctrine. Not only that, it speaks of the ways of the Lord. The ways of the Lord. Not only is it the parents teaching what the Bible says, but it's practical teaching of what's right and wrong. When the Bible says for children obey their parents in the Lord, it's everything that's going to bring about a practical daily life for you in the future. How you're going to live your life in responsibility, in duty, amen, in discipline. Now, I love discipline, but discipline should be with love, mom and daddy, amen. You ought to have some love behind it, but we need to be teaching children discipline too. So whenever it happens, you shouldn't say, I don't want to, because that would be going against the Bible, you see. I mean, it's easy just to talk about sin in general, but when we start hitting on specific sin of children, which is disobedience, and the Bible speaks about rebellion in the Scriptures, amen, says it's the sin as of witchcraft. It's as of the sin of witchcraft. Well, that's wickedness. That's darkness. Now, don't you know rebellion and disobedience of your parents shows the darkness of your heart? Y'all still with me, aren't you? Now, children, stay with me. I want you to get this tonight. It is your duty and responsibility as a Christian, if you're saved in here, and a lot of you say that you are saved and you have trusted Christ as your Savior, and I want you to know, if you're being disobedient to your parents, you are wrong with God, and it's going to be hard to train you up and see you be spiritual. You can come to church and go to youth meetings and hear preaching and all that, but if you have got a rebellious attitude towards your mom and dad, you're going to have to allow God to break your heart on that. Because if you keep that, God's not going to be able to work in your heart. You're still listening to me, aren't you? Think about this question. Why would God give such a responsibility to your mom and dad? Why would He do that? I mean, first of all, because of unconditional love. That's the reason. I mean, as God gives a parent that unconditional love, they're going to do what's right by you because they love you. They're going to do what's right by you, and you should just accept it. Hey, they're trying to help me. Why don't I just do it? Hey, I want you to know something, I don't try to pat myself on the back or anything. You know me by now. I try to steer away from anything as I can. But all I know is illustration on my home. My children would never tell me no. If they did, I want you to know it'd be bad news at my house. Isn't that right, baby? Be it bad. And they're not going to tell me no. And if I even hear it mumbled under the breath, it'd be very, very bad. And if they don't hop on things and they say, "Oh, daddy," you don't say, "Oh, daddy." You just don't do it. You might as well say no. Instead of saying, "Oh, daddy." Because that's saying no. And you ain't gonna do that. Obedience is obedience. Half obedience is no obedience. And you know what? You know what that is when your child says that, mom and dad? That's them already having the heart of no before they ever get started. Y'all still with me, aren't you? They've already got a heart of disobedience when they go, "Ah." They sound like a grizzly bear. "Oh, dad. Oh, mom." Then they start trying to clean up. "Ah." They stomp over to the hamper. "Ah." Like some Neanderthal, you know. "Ah." At least Dylan's honest. You know that's what they all do, Dylan. They just peep these kids. They say, "They ain't as honest as you are." And he's admitted on his brother too, so it's okay. Let's not all do that at once, okay, on brothers and sisters. Hey, understandably, that's already, listen up, that's your heart already saying no by the way you're reacting to what your parents have said. You might as well be disobeying them. Are y'all listening to me? God said, "Forsake not the assembling of yourself together, as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another, even more as you see the day approaching." You know what? That's a commandment to go to church. But listen, what if Brother Shoemaker woke up and went, Oh, God, I don't want this. All right. And I put on my suit and I stomp down out to the car and I, come on, wife and kids, we got to go to church. And I go to church and open the door and I, let's get the Sunday school started. Oh, I don't want to be here, but I got to be here. When I get up and preach, I don't have any joy because I don't want to be here, number one. Y'all ain't going to get anything because I ain't got anything, really. I can have a 5-page outline, still not have anything because my heart wasn't in it from the get-go. Even though I had the commandment to do it, I was doing it just because I had to. You think God's going to bless that?
No.
Guarantee you He's not going to bless that. Hey, your heart needs to be in what the Scripture says. You're to say, thanks, Mom and Dad, for giving me something to do. How many of you ever thank your mom and dad for giving you something to do? We don't find that a whole lot. That would just blow our minds, wouldn't it, moms and dads, if our child goes, thanks, Mom. I love to clean my room. Thanks for letting me do the dishes. That's the greatest thing. Thank you. And then they hug you and kiss you. You're the greatest. That would blow our minds. But you know what? That's a heart for obeying God. To do something like that would be a heart for obeying God, children, because you're commanded in the Bible to obey your parents. You say, I'm not commanded to love it. If you're obeying them in the Lord, you're going to have some joy for doing it. That's in the service of God, you see. If you do anything in the service of God with a good heart, you're going to do it with joy. I mean, honestly, you think that you know, pastors and ministers, and sometimes they got to get up early and go to the hospital. Hey, if they prayed up the night before, they're going to say, thank you, God, for giving me this opportunity. Sure, I got to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning. Sure, it's going to hurt me tomorrow. Sure, fine, but thank you, Lord, for the opportunity. You see, service grants us joy. And that is part of service, of being a child of God, is being able to obey the Scriptures with joy. And if that's what the Scriptures say for a young man or a young woman, guess what? It'll give you some joy to obey your parents. You say, that's not me, Brother Shoemaker. I'd start reevaluating. That means I'd start thinking things over. Why it doesn't bring me any satisfaction to obey my parents. Are y'all listening to me tonight? Give me your undivided attention now. Think about this. And now this is part of God's command. But understand, in the Lord shelters children from the disobedience that a lot of parents put upon children. And there are some times when parents are leading in a wrong fashion as far as what the Scriptures say. Now I understand, I don't believe that the parents in here are going to be doing that. But this does shelter that. You see, children are to obey their parents in the Lord. They're not just to obey everything. They're not just, if it's going to lead you into sin, if it's going to make you do something wrong, you don't want to be disobeying God's Word to try to obey your parents. You see. I don't think any parents are doing that in here, but that does shelter the children, you see, from doing something against God's Word. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And this is just holy. This is godly. This is the right thing to do, children. Understand that. Now, notice with me. Now, all you children, you got your Bibles open, don't you? To Ephesians 6. Read with me. Verse number 2. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Now, exactly what does that mean? Now, listen to this. I'm going to read these to you, and you listen to them. Now, it says, and God spake these words, saying... Well, I've got the wrong one. Yeah, no, I got the right one. He said, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation unto them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Now this is a general declaration in verse number 5 of who God is. Tagged, okay, that's tagged with a law. Y'all got that? A declaration of who God is tagged on a law. No specific there. He said in verse 6, and showing mercy unto thousands, excuse me, verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in the 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And then he continues, thou shalt not kill, commit adultery, shall not steal, bear false witness. Now understand, this was the first commandment that had a special promise tagged with it. Especially for individuals, understand, not just a declaration, but for individuals that would honor thy father and thy mother. Those that would make sure we obeyed what they told us to do, and we loved them for it. That's honor. Y'all get that tonight? That's honor. It's when your mom and dad tells you to do something, and you know that they're trying to love you, and trying to teach you, and trying to help you, and make you stronger for it, and you say in your heart, thank you, Mom and Dad, for helping me. Thank you, Mom and Dad. And you love them the more because they take that time to try to help you. That's honoring your father and mother. Understand, now everybody look up this way. I want your attention. Everybody, all you children, up here. I want your attention tonight. I don't want you looking down, flipping around. I want your attention. If you don't give me your attention, God's not going to be able to get hold of your heart. I promise you. Notice the promises that was made to those who obey their parents. First of all, in this chapter, a happy life is promised. Watch this in verse number 3, that it may be well with thee. That it may be well with thee, a happy life. He said that it may be well with thee. They are promised a more happy, useful, virtuous life if they obey their parents than if they don't. And I assure you, rebellious children most of the time do not live good, happy lives. Because the sin that visits them in their age, I promise you, children, is going to make you unhappy. The sin that will visit you is not going to let you live a good, happy life. The parents that don't keep their children in the place of obedience, listen to this, parents, are robbing them of a happy life. I mean, parents that don't make their children mind, you are going to rob your children of living a good, virtuous life, a useful, happy life. You're robbing them of that. Brother Shoemaker, I want little Jimmy to have good things, as a child, I had an abusive father or abusive mother, or I was whooped, spanked all the time, and we can come up with all the excuses you want to, but I promise you, if you can use those if you want, but when you don't keep little Jimmy or little Susie under wraps, and you don't keep them in subjection, you're robbing them of a happy life. You're robbing them of a successful life, you see. Second, not only is a happy life promised, but a long life is promised. And this is something all parents want for their children. No parents wants to outlive their children, do they? I don't think anybody does. And we as parents, though, create scenarios in which those cases just might come to pass. When we don't keep our children in subjection, when we don't discipline our children, we are creating scenarios in which those children are not going to live long or happy lives. Many of them are cut short because of the sin that they get in. Think about this. Children, do you want to have time in life? You see, time is probably one of the most precious, valuable things that we have. Some people don't even get saved until they're old. Some people don't get things right with their families until they're old. Some people don't. There's a lot of things they want to do and strive to do for the Lord, and they struggle with it until they're old. They start to see some things happen. Some people, that time is what they need. And if you want to squander your time, don't honor your father and mother. You want to live a short life? Go ahead and disobey your mom and dad. Because according to the Scriptures, that's exactly what you're doing. Ben Shoemaker, you shouldn't try to scare the children. I didn't scare you. I'm not telling you anything that's not in the Bible. He promised long life, a long, happy life to those that honored their father and mother. Sometimes it is up to God whether He takes a child. I'm not telling you that God can't take a child. I'm telling you that all obedient children live long, happy lives, because not all obedient children do live long, happy lives. And that's God's choosing, you see, if He wants to take them at a young age or whatever age He wants to. But I'm just telling you, for the most part, when a young man or young woman starts to grow up and they get off in sin because of a rebellion of their young age and no lack of discipline, and mama and daddy that let them get away with murder, saying no and I don't want to and I'm not going to, hey, when they get to doing those things, when they get on up in age and they get off in sin, they'll be consumed by it. If you want to live a happy life, obey your parents. Obey your parents. That's not something that I say I want to do. I don't think that's something that people say I don't want to do. I don't want to obey my parents, or I do want to obey my parents. Something that you got to get your heart right with God, children. Just say, I'm going to obey God's Word. You see. It's not, at that point, Brother Phil, it has nothing to do with you. If they're saved, has everything to do with this Scripture. Because as far as their flesh concerned, you children, your flesh is concerned, you're just like all your mom and daddy's was when they was your age. In their flesh, they didn't want to obey their moms and dads either. But you know what? You got a good shot right now, because if you say, I'm saved and I've trusted Christ as my Savior, then you have the ability with the Almighty God living on the inside of you to obey God's commandment and do right. Now it comes down to a biblical thing. How do I want to obey God? Obeying my parents is obeying God and living a long, happy life. In these verses, we can't escape the responsibility of the fathers. Well, though, listen to what it says. He says, and ye, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, my wife sometimes tries to use that one against me. Don't provoke your children to wrath. I like to aggravate them sometimes. They know I'm kidding with them most of the time. Amen. But I like to aggravate them. Did you know what, honey, though? That ain't even what that verse means. Now let me tell you what it means. He told them, if you want to live a long, happy life, obey your parents. Now this is what he's saying when he says, you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. He's telling them, you've got to give them a shot to be obedient. Now there are some moms and dads that make it out of stretch to obey what they say to do. And you have got to give them a chance for success, because their accomplishment is going to bring them confidence. And if you don't give your children a chance to be successful and to be obedient to what you say, then they'll never have confidence in being successful in the Lord. And so fathers, mothers, you're going to have to make it to where they can be obedient to you. You're going to have to make it within their realm of limitations to obey you. But don't make it to where they're aggravated all the time. You know, you can get a child to where you just ride it and ride it and ride it until they just get plumb aggravated because they feel like they can't do it. I mean, honestly, do they need to do it? Yes. Show them how. Teach them how. Lead them up. If they can't do it the first time, help them do it the second time. Help them to be successful. Help them to obey you. Let them feel what it means to be obedient to mom and dad and just do it. Because you know why? These children, they're going to thrive on the feeling of accomplishment that you're going to give them from mom and dad whenever you say, good job, son. I mean, don't you children like to hear your mom and dad say you did a good job? That's why when they're little, they bring the little color and say, look, mommy, look, daddy. They don't want you to say, you did horrible. You colored outside the lines. How many little kids love to hear that? Okay. That's a awful picture. That's me. That ain't me. I have a huge nose and my eyes are all centered. Well, no kid, you want to say, oh, honey, that's a wonderful picture. You know what you parents do? You lie through your teeth, don't you? Oh, baby, that's the best looking picture of daddy I've ever seen. It looks just like him. The day I married him, he had funny looking ears, big eyes. It looks just like him, baby. You did a wonderful job. No kid wants to hear you did a horrible job. Do that. And you know what? Whenever you give them something new, they want to be able to say, they want to hear mom and dad say, "That's you did great. Thank you. You did a good job. I appreciate you helping me. You did a wonderful job mowing that yard. You did a good job raking those leaves. You did a wonderful job blowing off that back deck. You did a wonderful job cleaning your room and keeping it clean." Why? You know what? You should, kids, look up here at me. You should want to hear that. But some of you just living in rebellion. You're going to have to step out and just say, if the Bible says it, then I'm going to obey it, and I'm going to obey my parents because God told me to. I want to obey my parents because God told me to. It's a commandment from God, not from mom and dad, not from Pastor Shoemaker. Look at me. From God, it's a commandment to obey your parents, to do right, because it is right. As we think about this, why is it so important? The main reason, though, for this, the main reason so that our children can live in harmony with others? No. That's not the main reason that we try to bring our children in submission and make them obedient. And it's not the reason that you are obedient because God tells you to live in harmony with others. Yeah, you will, though, but it's not the main reason. It's not to keep them out of prison, though it will. It's not to help dad and mom from being in a mental institution, though it will. How many moms and dads have pulled their hair out because they just can't make little Johnny mind? Will it keep them in their sanity? Yes. Is that the main reason? No. The reason for discipline and submission is because, listen, moms and dads, When your children get ready to be saved, they need to be in submission to mom and dad to know how to submit to authority. Because if they don't, when that time comes, they're not going to submit to God. And it's good. I mean, I love to, you know, and I ask my children, you know you're saved. I continue to ask Courtney and Abigail, and I pray for Blake and pray God save him at a young age. But I'll continue to ask them, you know you're saved? And I said this before and I'll say it again. Children, if you get tired of hearing, "Are you saved?" then you just might not be saved. Hey, I never get tired of hearing, "Are you saved?" I love to tell people, "I'm saved, amen. Saved by the glorious grace of God." But understandably, think about this. If one of my children are not saved, then I want them, even if they say I got saved at 6, and they come back at 10 and say, "I don't know if I got saved or not," and I'm going to deal with them then. They come back at 16, or they come back at 24, or they come back at 35 and say, "Daddy, I don't know for sure," that I'm going to continue to deal with them about their salvation. But I want some point in time between all of that. I want those times to be where God can deal with them. And they can submit to authority. But if they wasn't raised under the authority of their mom and dad, if mom and dad didn't keep them in subjection, if they didn't mind their parents and they lived in open rebellion, and some moms and dads know whether they do or not. You know it in their heart whenever they storm off and they say, "Oh," and they sit on their bed and they pout for 15, 20 minutes. You ought to go in their room and just say, "There ain't going to be no pouting. You're not going to be pouting. You're going to submit." You know, I've heard people say, "Brother Shoemaker, I don't know exactly how I need to do that. I mean, I've tried to do, you know." Let me give you a little piece of advice. And you know, I don't know why God allowed us to catch on this at a young age, but I'm glad He did. And I've heard this preached before, and I took it. I heard it when we just got married. Wendy might remember Preacher Watts preaching on that, but he talked about the will of the child. And I picked up on that, and I'm so glad I did, because it helped me even when Courtney was a young child, and all three of my children, I've used it. And you children, listen well, because I hope your parents get this too. Your child has a will. You see. And unless that wheel's broke, that child won't break. And sometimes we take our children and we say, "Son, daughter, do you know why you're getting a spanking today?" Now you say, you're on recording, Brother Shoemaker. I don't care, amen. This is the Bible. We are not to forsake using the rod, amen. "He that spareth the rod hateth his child." And I don't hate my children. I want them raised right. Amen? But you don't just take a child and ram, 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 and just go on. I'm going to use Courtney. You don't mind me using your name, do you? Courtney, do you know why you're getting a spanking today? How many times have you heard that? Nah, just kidding. You don't have to say a number. It's up there, though. Do you know why you're getting a spanking today? And she's usually, "Yeah." Because they already know what's coming. Yeah, I do. This is the reason you're getting a spanking. And you let them know, even though they say, "Yes, I do," you let them know this is the reason you're getting a spanking. This is the reason I'm going to do this. And I want you to know I love you. And you let your children know you love them when you're spanking them. You say, "You can't do that." Oh yeah, you can. You keep your composure. Okay? How many times have I told you when dealing with people, speak slow? Have I told you that? Okay? Speak slow. Know what you're saying. Pray before you speak to them if you're confronting one. And do it with the Spirit of God guiding you. Operate that way with your children, and you'll have success. You see, that operation didn't come from Pastor Shoemaker. I got that from the Bible. We understand how God works, how the men of God work, and we can understand how we are to work. And if you do that with your children, then you'll have good success with them, and you let them know this is the reason. But you know, whenever they're little bitty, or sometimes I did mine when they was little bitty. But you know, as they get older, their will gets stronger. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it takes a little bit more muscle power. Brother Shoemaker, you shouldn't say that. You're on recording. I'm telling you. You're going to have to break the will of the child. And when you come across with your paddle or belt or whatever you use as your rod, when you spank your child, that child, you can't just one or two licks and just little soft taps and they get up and you can tell in their eyes that they're not broke. You can tell in their eyes because they're looking at you like they could just run right through you and they don't. Let me tell you something. You ain't done a whole lot. Matter of fact, you ain't done much. You know why your children walk across the room like they're mad at the world when you get on to them? Because they never had their will broke. And when you come across there and you finally break that will, their heart will begin to break. And they'll know they're wrong. And what they're getting that spanking for, understandably so. And you say, well, you know, it's not because God did this thing. But let me tell you, if their will don't break, you ain't done a whole lot. And then when you get done, you say, I'm going to pray with you. And you take their hand, and you let that little boy or little girl, or you let your child know you love them, and you care about them. And you pray for them to be a good son, a good daughter. You pray for yourself. Never pray for them to be a good son and daughter and never pray for yourself. They want to hear you pray for yourself too. I mean, that's kind of arrogant, isn't it? I'll pray for you, but I didn't do anything wrong. I could be a better dad. I promise you that. Lord, help me to be a good dad. Help me to guide them, lead them. Help me to make sure that I discipline them in the right way. Help them to know I love them and care about them. And then you pray for them to be a good son, be a good daughter, to love God, honor God with their life. And then when you get done, if you want to, you hug their necks. Amen. You let them know I love you and I care about you. But you're going to have to make sure you don't do this anymore. Right? Now listen. Why is this important? Why is this order so important? It is to humble them to the place to where they give themselves to God. That should be our final goal. Children, why should you obey your parents and the Lord for this is right? You want to live a good life? Yes. Right? You want to live a long time on this earth? Yes. Right? But it shouldn't be for that. It should be because you want to be submitted to God. You submit yourself to your parents because you want to be under the authority of God, you see, and honor God with your life. As a child, your role is very important in the home. And the peace of that home depends on your acceptance, subjection, or upon your rebellion. For a lack of peace. But it's very important. Children, know your place. Accept your role and obey God. I'm not telling you right now to you say, I'm not going to obey my parents. Let me tell you this. Start off by obeying God and obeying your parents will come naturally. I mean, it's the same way with the parents, you see. You start off obeying God and getting right with one another in the church, having a peace in the church, peace in the home, peace in the marriage. You start off getting right with God, right? It don't work any different with children. Get right with God, and being right with your parents just comes easy. Obeying them will be easy. Let me tell you, parents, instead of trying to force your children a lot of times, in which a lot of times we have to, why don't you try praying with them and get them on a rhythm of, especially if they're not, you know, going through any Bible during their school time, you're really, in their evening time, you need to have them reading some Bible. You need to have them pray. You need to have them pray. You need to have them do something, amen. Because when they're right with God, they'll be peaceful with you. Why don't we try that direction? When those other things don't work, let's try God's way. Because it always does. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Court, maybe you come and play a little verse invitation. Maybe say, Brother Shoemaker, I want my children to be in subjection. I want them to reverence God and live holy, be obedient to the Lord. Maybe your children say, I haven't been obedient to my parents like I should. Now listen to me, children. Tonight's your opportunity. Say, Lord, help me. Help me. I want to mind my mother, mind my father. I want to be right with you and right with my parents. Father, I pray that you bless our invitation time tonight. I pray, O God, that you get a hold of these hearts. Lord, help our children, Father, to be obedient to their parents, obedient to you. Father, to the authority in their lives, I pray, help them to be submissive. And Father, help our parents, Lord, God, at Faith Baptist Church, God, to be to use wisdom in dealing with their children, godly wisdom. Father, giving themselves to you that they could guide their children in the right way. Father, I pray, help our homes, Lord. We'll praise you for what you'll do tonight now. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'd like to come, she's going to play through. Maybe you want to come to an old-fashioned altar. Say, Lord, help me. Maybe you children like to bow your head tonight. God, help me. Help me to do right. I want to do right. Maybe you parents want to come pray with your children. This would be a good opportunity.